Message will be a little bit on the lighter side as opposed to the one from this morning, but it's still applicable to us and as a church and as a people. 29th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, and it's probably familiar scriptures. I said this morning, and I'm going to say it again. These are some of my favorite scriptures. There's a little plaque that I have at home, and it's a man that's kneeling over an altar. And it's a man that his suit's a little worn out, maybe his shoes are a little worn, and it has these verses of scriptures on it. And they've been quite a comfort to me over the years, and especially as you become a pastor, they become very applicable to you. They are applicable to every child of God, and I believe even to those who are lost. I truly believe that tonight. Jeremiah 29 in the 10th verse says this. This is not the verse, I'll tell you which one the verse is on the plaque, but it starts like this. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. 13th verse, and this is what's on that plaque, and it says, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away. And if I could title this for a few moments tonight, and I told some of them, I said, I'll try to not keep you too long tonight. I want the Lord to have His way, certainly. But as I began to think about this, and it really hit me this afternoon, I was wondering, Lord, what am I going to preach on tonight? And I thought of this, and before we got the service started, there was a couple words that were said by a few people that were the title that the Lord had given me, and it was right on time. Sister Sherry asked if it was right on time for service to start, and we were right on time for this service to start. Now, I told you this morning that Jeremiah was a prophet, and he was looking out over Israel. And he was telling them that they were going to be a desolate nation if they didn't turn themselves toward God. Now you see, Jeremiah also told those in Israel, he let them know that God was still a God of peace. Even though God is a God of wrath, He's a God of love, He's a God of peace, He's a God of comfort, He's all of these things that are wrapped into this God that I serve. And Jeremiah wanted them to know there in Israel that God was still with them, God still cared about them, and God still loved them. You know, I'm thankful tonight that God still loves me. And as I began to think about being right on time, when I first started at Save-A-Lot there in Bowling Green, some of you all will get a kick out of this. You laugh at my driving a lot of times. I would get up to go to work. It was about a 45-minute drive for me to get to work. So I would wait to the very last possible second for me to get out of the bed before I had to be at work. You see, Mitchell really didn't worry about whether I was on time or not. He wanted me to be on time, and 95% of the time I was on time. But you see, there were those few times that I was not right on time. And sometimes I could see him in the big window there at work, and he'd be standing there with them arms crossed, and I could see him tapping that shoulder, and I'd get in and he'd laugh at me. He'd say, well, you're late today, I'm going to get to dock your pay. And of course we had that joke going back and forth that we would do that. Well, one day I was going to work, and I... The stretch of road going to Save-A-Lot, there was a lot of red lights there on the bypass. And my way of driving is fast. And so I would get to these red lights, and all of them would turn red as soon as I got there. And I had just a few minutes before the time clock was going to start for me. And I kept thinking, I'm not going to make it if I keep running into these red lights. No matter what I did, I was right on time to hit that red light. Everything I did, I got that red light. I could speed past all the cars. I changed lanes about 3 times, so I thought, well, I'll be in a clear shot so that I get to that next one. I'll be A-okay. Well, it never worked. I hit all of them. Well, I get to work, and Mitchell's standing there in the window, and he's tapping his shoulder. And I said, not today, Mitchell. I hit every red light in Bowling Green. You know, I'm convinced tonight that sometimes in our work for the Lord, and sometimes in our lives, we hit red lights. You say, preacher, what's that mean? Sometimes we're not right on time. Sometimes, and I tell you this often, I like to be in control. I like to know what's ahead, what's behind me, what's around me. I like to have the whole vision. I would think, well, if I can just get through that red light, I'm going to be home stretch. Well, I'll be fine if I get through there. Well, you know, my ideas didn't work out. I hit every one of those red lights. No matter what I did, I always got myself in trouble. And you know what? I finally come to realize I need to be more responsible and get out of bed earlier. But as I begin to think about being right on time, most of you all know I like to be early when I go someplace except for work. But I like to get there in plenty of time. I like to make sure I can talk to everybody and see everybody, especially if I'm going to church. But you know, there's somebody that is always on time in our lives. No matter where we're at or what we're doing or how we're doing it, there is somebody that is always with us. And He is always on time, no matter what we think, no matter where we're at. God is always on time in our lives. He has never left me desolate. He's never left me alone. And He has always been there whenever I needed Him. Same goes for Israel. Israel had gone through that time of being desolate. How they had lost everything. They lost their country. They lost other people. The Lord told them, He said, I'm going to separate you. Cast you into the wind and you're going to be separated. You're not going to have other comforts that you do. But you know the moment that Jeremiah told them, he said, the Lord told him, He said, I know the thoughts that I have for you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Can you imagine what those people must have thought? Well, Lord, you have done all of this to us and you have left us to die. But Lord, you're right on time again, just when we need you. Thought about an old song the Primitive Quartet sang. Coming down the road was Jesus, right on time. Always, He's right there. Thought of these verses of Scriptures, and these have been a big help to me a lot in my life. A lot of days I just don't understand. I don't get the whole picture. I don't understand why this has happened or that has happened, why bad things happen to good people, why the services sometimes in our churches, why they don't go like we think they ought to. Sometimes why the things in preaching, they don't go like I think they ought to. Sometimes things in my life, they don't work out like I think that they should. But you see, I don't know everything, but God does, and He tells us that He has thoughts of peace for us and not of evil. I'm convinced tonight that God has better for us on the other side when we leave this world. But I'm convinced while we're here that God has good thoughts for us. Because He's always right on time.
Amen.
It says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you. The Scripture in Isaiah says, His ways are higher than our ways. It says, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken, or I will listen unto you. And ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart. I'm going to ask this question, and you don't have to raise your hands. But I would venture to say everyone in here has had a time or two like this. Have you ever looked around and everything has fallen apart? Just trouble everywhere. You know, I hear people say this a lot. When you finally get to the end of your rope, then talk to the Lord about it.
You see, I'm on the opposite end of that spectrum. I think the moment that things go wrong, we should go to the Lord. I think we should be in such constant contact with the Lord that He's on our mind and our hearts all the time instead of just when things go wrong. But have you ever prayed to God and earnestly asked Him for something? And you really thought, that's exactly what I need, what I've got to have. Lord, I know this is the plan that You have for me, and Lord, I want to be in it. And you've just called out to Me, and you shall go and you shall pray unto Me, and I will listen unto you. Have you ever thought about that God actually listens to us? I've heard a lot of people, and I've probably talked to a lot of people that have not heard a thing that I've ever said to them. Have you ever talked to somebody and you just knew they weren't listening? Just looked them right in the face and you could just tell they were there in body, but they were way gone in spirit. They weren't anywhere within 100 miles of where you were sitting, even though their body was there. They didn't care about what you were saying, and maybe their mind was just off of where they were supposed to be. Have you ever thought about God listening to us? I've often thought about what He must think when I get down to pray. I've often thought, well, I wonder if He just hears a bunch of empty, idle words. But you see, I believe sometimes we get in contact with the Lord. I don't believe every time I get down to pray that I get in contact with the Lord. I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes when I get down to pray or I get in my prayer closet, the prayers don't get much above my head. Sad fact, but it's the truth. But there are times I believe that our prayers do get in touch with the Lord, and God listens. There are times in a Christian's life when things are going to go wrong. You're going to have days that you're going to think, God has forgotten all about me. He doesn't care what I'm going through or how I'm going to get there. He doesn't even notice that I'm alive anymore. God doesn't even care. And then you begin to pray. Now, I want to clarify something. I don't want to preach to you tonight that God grants all of your wants and your wishes. He doesn't. God's not going to give you everything that you want. I want a brand new Lincoln Navigator, and guess who don't have one? Me. God knows I don't need it, therefore He don't grant me that. I've never prayed for it either, but I really don't think I need to waste my time doing that. Because I already know the answer. I have what I need, and God has allowed me to be sufficient with that. He's allowed me to be happy with that, so I know that prayer will never be answered. But sometimes we find ourselves in the middle of despair. Broken and hurt. Israel was broken and they were hurt. I told you this morning, God basically took them, put His foot on them, and stomped them out. He basically let them know, I'm God, I'm in control, and I'm going to destroy you. And He did. But I believe God still loved them. You see, there's power in repentance. You see, repentance doesn't stop when we get saved. It doesn't. Repentance happens all of our lives. You see, when we get saved, we're repenting of our sins to be saved. But you see, after you get saved, you know what you still are? You're still a sinner. And you still need God's help every single day. You know, Israel had to do some repenting. I believe they did their repenting. They were in God's good graces for a little while again. But He says, I will listen unto you. Have you ever got up and you just had that calm about what you prayed for? Remember the day you got saved and that peace that you felt? Now, you don't get saved again, but God gives you peace about a situation. You know what I believe that is? Him being right on time. Him knowing what we need and how we need it and when we need it. Sometimes God lets us go through the fire a little ways so that we realize just how much that we need Him. You know, if there was never a trial in a child of God's life, we would never realize just how much that we need God. We think everything was fine, we were hunky-dory, And you know what we would start doing? There's a passage of Scripture Brother Danny Tomlinson used last night. It says, "Lean not to thine own understanding. In all of thy ways acknowledge Him." You know what we would do? We would be leaning to our own understanding. You see, if I thought I knew everything, and guess what? I know I don't. There'd be a lot of times I thought Taylor could do it all on his own. Why, if I thought I knew everything, I might even try in my weak way to get up here and preach a sermon without God's help. I would never get very far. You can't preach enough gospel without God's help. You just cannot do it. So we've got to lean not to our own understanding. Acknowledge God in all of our ways. What does it say? He will direct our paths. I believe that's for a child of God just as much as it is a safe person, as a lost person. But have you ever gotten that calm? Or maybe in the next vein, maybe you prayed and God just didn't answer that prayer at that moment. Ever had that happen? Ever just been praying about something and God just didn't grant it right that moment and you thought, "You didn't even hear me." You know, as I can relate to this because I'm still fairly young enough that I remember these days. But you'd ask your parents for something and they'd say, "Well, not right now." Or my favorite one was "maybe later." I always knew "maybe later" meant no way. It always meant you're not getting it. But you know, sometimes God doesn't answer the first time that we ask Him. You say, "Preacher, what do you mean?" Sometimes we're asking God, and sometimes we're asking God, we're praying to God, and we're saying, "Lord, this is what I need." Sometimes our need really doesn't match up to what we really think that we need. See, I believe in prayer. And I believe in praying such that you ask God for what you need, and I believe God will give you what you need. The Bible says and teaches us from Genesis to Revelations, I believe the general overall theme of a child of God's life is that God will be with us and He will supply our needs because He's a God that's never left us. You see, if He was a God that left us, He wouldn't be able to supply our needs. But He's able to do that. I thought about many times when God was able to pass by and supply our needs. I talked about Jehoshaphat today, how he got down on his knees and he said, "Lord, I don't know which way to go, but I know that my eyes are on you." He basically realized, "I might be the king of this nation, but I don't know what I'm doing. And while you may be coming against me, the world may be coming against me, Lord, I know the only help or the only thing that can help me now is that you will supply my need." And guess what God did? He allowed King Jehoshaphat and his nation of Judah to be satisfied or to be able to withstand that attack. And you know what? The Moabites just went away basically with their tail between their legs because guess what? God smote them. And God allowed the nation of Judah to go victorious. And guess what? They should have lost. Should have just lost as anything. But God supplies needs. And this is where I really want to get to, and I'm going to try to push this along if God will help us tonight. It says, "And ye shall seek me, and ye shall find me, when ye shall search for me with all of your heart." See, that goes hand in hand for lost people and saved people. You see, before you get saved, you can't get saved until you search God with all of your heart. The Bible says, "Seek me, and ye shall find me, when you search for me with all of your heart." The Bible also says over in the New Testament, it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and everything else shall be added unto you." Why do you think it is a seeking out? It's because we're lost. We're going out, as lost people, to search God out. I believe with everything that salvation is a heart work. It's a work that goes right down into the very depths of our being. And when we get to that point and turn everything else over, God will save our soul. You see, I believe that's just a learning experience for saved people. You say, "What does that mean?" Well, you see, we learn that when we get saved. We learn to turn things over to God. Basically, we're turning ourselves over to Him. But you see, as a child of God, sometimes we have to go seek the Lord out and find Him. And we've got to search for Him with all of our heart. You see, I was taught growing up, if you're going to do anything, you do it the best that you can, and you put your all into it. You know, prayer is the same way. Finding God, asking God for things, it's the same way. When we go to the Lord in prayer here at church, in our homes, I still believe what the church covenant says, to maintain family and secret devotions. You see, I believe the church should pray together when we come together. And we should come together and pray together with all of our hearts. We need to pour our hearts out before God. You say, preacher, doesn't the Bible say that He knows our hearts and the intentions of those even before we ask? Sure He does. But God desires that we would seek Him out and search Him out for the desires of our heart. And that doesn't just stop here. That goes into your homes. It goes into your secret devotions, family and secret. You know, I'm convinced that a family that will pray together is a lot stronger than a family that doesn't pray together. I've watched my grandparents growing up, I've watched them pray together. And it's taught me a lot. That when you pray together and you have those same thoughts and those same problems, a lot of times you're sharing those burdens with each other. And you know what? You've got two people praying and asking God for something, and God will hear those. I believe it's important that a family is praying outside of church. But I also believe in that secret devotions. That devotions, it goes into study as well. I believe that. But I believe those devotions themselves also are talking about praying. I still believe in a closet prayer. You say, what does that mean? It means you find your place to search out God. A lot of times, and you all have heard this, I'm going to beat this drum again, my favorite place to pray is in the front seat of my car. A lot of times, that's the only time of day that I really get where I don't have to be on the cell phone, where nobody's in the car with me, where I'm able to just get myself with the Lord. That's my place to pray. I believe we should engage in those things. And you say, preacher, how in the world did you get right on time from out of all of this? You see, my Lord is the keeper of all time. He's able to know what's ahead for every single one of us. He knows about tomorrow long before tomorrow was ever even thought about. He knew about today before today was even thought about. And God knows the timing of everything. He knows how things are going to play out. Paul told the men in Athens, he said, God establishes the bounds of our habitation. He knows all about where we're going and how we're going to get there. So God knows just exactly where we're going to be and how we're going to get there. I tell you a lot that I like to think that I know just exactly what I'm going to do and when I'm going to do it. I like to think that. But you know, sometimes God takes us on a detour. And you know, before we ever get to our destination, we don't see the things, the potholes, in the middle. I was at the minister's school this last year, and Brother David was talking about potholes. And I thought, well, that's the silliest thing I've ever heard of. He said, sometimes there are potholes that we miss because God is right on time to make us miss those things. You ever driven through a big old pothole? Jars your car all to pieces, just can't hold on to the road. And he said, sometimes we as people, we just drive right on through, forgetting all of the flashing signs and all of the things that are letting us know, hey, there's danger ahead. Hey, there's a problem that's going to be happening if you don't do something about this, and we drive right on by it. And next thing you know, you've got a pothole so big you done driven your car right on off into it. And you know what? I believe a lot of the problems that we encounter or the things that we do, we bring upon ourselves because we don't pray and we don't ask God to show us and direct our paths in what we need to be doing. Believe that. And so a lot of times we're on this journey of life, and I'm going to close here in just a moment. On this journey that we're on, don't fail to acknowledge the Lord. Seek Him out. Because the ways that He has for us, they're of peace and not of evil. I believed with everything in me that my parents would never do anything to me that would get me in trouble. I really put faith or my confidence in my parents that what they told me was the right things. I knew they were never going to ask me to do something that would get me in trouble. I knew they weren't going to ask me to sell any drugs or do anything bad, break any laws. I knew that they loved me more than that and had moral obligations better than that. God's the same way. He's never going to get us into trouble. Now, you might think God has gotten us into some trouble. I thought, when He called me to preach, I thought, well, you've done it now, God. You've got me in a heap of trouble. But you know, God knew what was needed. He knew where I would be. And you know what? As a child of God, I want to instill in this to you before we leave tonight. There's that expected end that it talks about in verse 17. Sometimes we have hills and we have valleys and good times and bad times. But I'm glad tonight that God is always right on time for me and for you. I thought about Lazarus and Mary and Martha, and I want to leave you with this. Old Lazarus had done died, done laid in the tomb and done began to decay, and I guess Mary and Martha were just mad at Jesus. They thought he's supposed to be here. He was supposed to have been here. And if he had been here, why, our friend, our brother Lazarus, he wouldn't have died. See, Jesus had a reason why he was late. Had a reason why he wasn't there. But he came just in time. Sometimes we're in the 11th hour with counting down to the final end of what we think is going to happen. And God is always right on time in my life. And because of these verses of Scriptures that we read out of Jeremiah, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then ye shall call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken, or I will listen unto you. I'm glad I have a Savior who listens. Now sometimes He doesn't give me what I want, and sometimes I have to go through a little bit of trouble. Brother Colin said this morning in Sunday school, talking about temptations, he said, sometimes we get tempted. He says, but the Lord allows a way out of those temptations, and I'm thankful that He does do that. But sometimes we don't get what we want. We don't get what, I'll be honest with you, we don't get what we deserve a lot of the times. But I'm so glad that He's always right on time. I want to leave you this verse of Scripture in Deuteronomy. That I believe this promise was modeled after, if I can find it, if God will help us do that. And I had it marked, so that's good. Deuteronomy chapter 30. And once again, we see Israel getting themselves in some more trouble. And in my Bible, the heading above chapter 30 says, God's mercy toward Israel. Fifth verse says, and the Lord God will bring thee unto the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And He will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and heart of thy seed to love the Lord God with all of thine heart and with all of thy soul, and thou mayest live. I believe that's a direct parallel to what Jeremiah was saying. We need to love the Lord God with all of our heart and all of our soul. I truly believe that. He's the best thing that we have. And I'm glad that He's always right on time. May God bless you is our prayer while we stand together and while we sing.